All right, glad you're with us. Happy Monday. Toll free, our number is 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. We've got the lawyers for the president coming up during the course of the program today. What a beatdown Michael Vanderveen gave the CBS anchor. That was pretty amazing. And Bruce Cantor, also David Schoen, he did the portion of the case where he literally lit up the whole room with the montages he played. So we'll go through a lot of what was going on behind the scenes. As we speak, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, under huge pressure. Former Governor Pataki now floating the idea that this cover-up of the nursing home deaths is such a big deal that he wants the state to take a hard look at a recall effort, which New York does not have a means to do like California does. Cuomo's now out there trying to spin this. Again, he's claiming it's not his fault. We've got to give a shout out to our friends in Texas today. As Joe Bastardi warned us late last week, things have gotten really bad down there weather-wise with snow, low, historically low temperatures. You have pavement, ice. They don't have anything that resembles a plow or a sander or salting machines, nothing. And there's a state of emergency has been declared in Texas. Governor Abbott, Ted Cruz, I spoke with both of them, and they're all over it. And but for those of you down there, it might be time to check on your elderly neighbors and friends, make sure everybody's okay, everybody has enough heat, they're warm. Maybe you have a generator, you have an elderly neighbor, you might want to invite them in and get them nice and warm if their house is cold. They just don't prepare for things like this. Good news in the media front, and that being that Parler is back, thank goodness, and they apparently now have bypassed everything. Hold on. Anyway, Parler is back. They've resumed their social media app. They've secured a new computer servers. Not an easy process from everything I know. You got YouTube. Not only will these big tech companies, a lot of them, cancel any story by the New York Post, but then they're now deleting portions of the dislikes when people comment on Biden videos. Oh, that's spam. Okay, can you prove it's spam? I'd like to see that. There's a big story I want to tell you about. There's a smoking gun email that has finally come out. If John Durham is still awake and doing anything that resembles any real investigation. But anyway, it was an email from Comey to James Clapper in January of 2017. Now, by that point, the FBI already knew. Having interviewed Christopher Steele, Steele told them that, yeah, I did this whole thing, dossier thing, to help Hillary. And remember, Sally Yates and people, who else said it? Andrew McCabe had said that without the dirty Russian dossier, misinformation Clinton paid for dossier, we wouldn't have gotten the FISA warrants. Well, now we see in this email that Comey wrote to James Clapper, we're not able to sufficiently corroborate the reporting as it relates to the dossier that he signed three warrants for verifying the authenticity of the information. And he sent this email the day that he renewed the FISA application, the first renewal. And then he did one even after that. We're not able to sufficiently corroborate the reporting. JustTheNews.com is reporting. Wow. Can you imagine that? We've got a lot of news on the Biden agenda, which we're going to be getting into. Now he's going after your Second Amendment rights. Now they're refusing to call Israel an ally. Unbelievable. Then you got this deputy press secretary, was only suspended, now apparently is now resigned. Then, of course, nobody pays attention to the Born Alive Infant Protection Act that Republicans, Democratic senators refused to outlaw that. I mean, it's pretty sad. So, and then we got this whole impeachment thing, and on top of it, then you got that Democrats cannot quit Donald Trump. It was a red state article. They can't quit him. Democrats have a new plan on how to get Trump after the acquittal that took place. Republicans, though, are now finally going on offense, which is a great thing. You have House Republicans demanding Nancy Pelosi answer some questions about the Capitol riot. Now, what have we learned, and what was a big part of this whole snap impeachment collapse had to do with the fact that they rushed to judgment, they did no investigation, and they did their snap impeachment, no due process, no defense, no presumption of innocence of any kind. All right, that's a big problem. This is now going to open a door. It's going to be easy to impeach a president pretty much for any reason whatsoever. But rightly so, if the FBI knew, if court documents now show, if Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez knew a week in advance that this was all likely to happen, they sent a letter, guys like Jim Jordan and Devin Nunes and Rodney Davis and a few others, James Comer, to Pelosi, saying that many more important questions about her responsibility. She's the head of the sergeant at arms in the House. Why, if everybody else seemed to know and the FBI knew and even fake news outlets like the Washington Post and CNN are reporting it, why didn't they do anything? I mean, this can't happen to this country in a post 9/11 world, as I've been saying. So they're demanding answers for Pelosi on her security decisions. Mark Meadows was on my show Friday night and he confirmed, no, the president offered days in advance to bring in the National Guard if they wanted it. And then the media say, no, that's not true. I've never known Mark Meadows to lie, especially on something as important as that. There is great, frankly, justified anger against Mitch McConnell. And Lindsey Graham was on Fox News Sunday dealing with this. And there's even a poll out today. Look, if you fracture the Republican Party, which could happen, but if it did happen, It's not going to, the Democrats would love it. Trust me. And as Lindsey said, I don't know who McConnell was trying to impress, but certainly wasn't the people that voted for him. He's right on that comment. And if Senate Republicans ever hope to reclaim the majority, job one needs to be what? I think probably getting new leadership, considering that the leadership of the Republicans has lost touch with the base of their party. That's not going to end well for anybody. Graham said, I think Senator McConnell's speech, he got a load off his chest, but unfortunately put a load on the back of Republicans. You know, that speech you're going to see in 2022 campaigns against Republicans. And I would imagine if you're a Republican running in Georgia, Arizona, New Hampshire, where we have a chance to take back the Senate, they may be playing Senator McConnell's speech and asking you about it. Then he added, I think McConnell's speech was an outlier regarding how Republicans feel about this. Obviously, Mitch McConnell is way out of touch. And, you know, you need somebody that actually understands the base of their party and what people want. You know, and there's one whole thing here that nobody seems to be getting. The whole process here should scare every American. Starting with Pat Leahy presiding, a guy that already said on the record that he believed Donald Trump was guilty. How did he get to preside over this shift show charade that took place? Now, it always was a predetermined outcome. I told you that. I was right about that. We're not wrong about that. How did that happen? How does that in any way represent any fundamental fairness of any kind in terms of any type of proceeding for somebody on an important question like impeachment? It was a big deal that John Roberts said, no, don't drag me into this post-presidential impeachment shift show charade. I don't want any part of it. And he was right. All rules of evidence, evidentiary standards were thrown out the window, just eviscerated. You know, and when David Schoen started showing those montages of the incendiary insurrectionist language of Democrats, well, there's a point to be made here, and that is that if you apply these exact same standards that the Democrats are using, if you apply that to Democrats, guess what? They'd be impeached, including Kamala Harris, and they would be put on trial. And really, Joe, I want to beat the hell out of the president. That might rise to the level itself. Certainly Chuck Schumer and his threats to Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. But Kamala Harris, after a police precinct burned to the ground, Minneapolis supporting a bail fund so that, quote, insurrectionists that are arrested can get out of prison, and some did, and some committed a lot more crimes that we've chronicled here on this program, chronicled on TV. You know, it was a powerful case. This, you don't have snap impeachments like this. This is why you don't. And now that we know that it was pre-planned and that all these groups that knew and understood it, that it was pre-planned, but if you apply the standards, it's exactly the same. I thought one of the funniest things, I mean, I never thought it would end. The Democratic politicians fight, 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 fight. We got to fight. We got to fight. We got to fight. We got to fight. Fight like hell. We all got to fight like hell. I'm going to fight like hell. Let's fight like hell. And it shows they're not applying the same standards in this case to other people. They're not, and they won't. And Pelosi can feign all the moral outrage she wants, but she's a part of the problem, too, with her comments about when the Wisconsin state capitol. Remember what took place there? And she was cheering that on herself at the time. The rules don't apply to Democrats. The rules don't apply to Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or Chuck Schumer or Maxine Waters. It looks like the censure movement has died. Nancy Pelosi says, no. He deserves much more than that. We censure people for using the wrong stationery. I'm like, okay. And this is what we get. This is what the American people get. Lindsey Graham saying about this double standard on Fox News Sunday. Well, if you use their model, I don't know how Kamala Harris doesn't get impeached if the Republicans take over the House, because she actually bailed out rioters. So now we've opened up Pandora's box here, and it's sad for the country. He's right. But, you know, and then we had this attorney for the president, Michael Vanderveen. Oh, man, it was a brutal takedown of the CBS reporter. Now, for the Republican senators, the few of those that actually voted guilty, there's massive backlash back in their home districts, even though Richard Burr was leaving anyway. And then you have Senator Cassidy, Louisiana, and then you had Pat Toomey. He's out as well. You know, they felt, I guess, it was politically safe for them. That's another sad thing, is that people, it just shows how corrupt the whole swamp is. You know, maybe we should do a one and done Congress. One term as senator, maybe two terms as congressman or woman, and then you're out. Term limit everybody so they don't spend all their time playing politics. As we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. You know, revenge and vengeance forever Democrats and never Trumpers and the rest, you know, they cannot, and I'm predicting right now, Donald Trump's been pretty quiet. He did release a statement Saturday, but the president's been pretty quiet. And the president, you know, did talk about the sad commentary in our time. And that is when, and this has gone on for the entirety of him running for office and his presidency. And, you know, we now have a smoking gun email, as justthenews.com reports today, on James Comey. He knew not to trust the dossier, but signed three applications saying it was verified. And now he's saying the opposite, saying he can't verify it. It's just sad. It's that one party can, in so many different ways, abuse their power, be this corrupt. You know, look at the whole quid pro quo Joe issue. You know, zero experience. You're making tens of millions of dollars. You know, $1.5 billion. Russian oligarchs, Kazakhstan oligarchs, Burisma, no experience whatsoever. And we've gotten to the point where all of this gets pushed under the rug. And all these weak Republicans, this bothers me, that go out there. And where were they during Operation Crossfire Hurricane? Where were they fighting the last impeachment with truthful examples of abuse of power and cashing in on a family name? Where were they then? And that's why I don't think they seem to understand why people are so angry about this. And also, Republicans have lost their fight. They could have learned a lot of lessons from Trump. Okay, you don't like his style. Got it. Check. You don't like his tweeting. Check. But the American people like that he gave promises, he followed through on them, he implemented them every day, and he didn't back down on them. There's a lesson to be learned for any politician if you have views you are sincere about. Like, even Bernie Sanders isn't sincere. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. I don't know how Kamala Harris is going to feel about this. In Minneapolis, you have officials there. This is where this whole defund the police effort, movement, if you will, started. They actually wanted to disband, remember, the entire police department. Then we found out the people voting that way, oh yeah, they were using taxpayer dollars to pay for their own private security. How ironic, right? Anyway, they're planning now in Minneapolis to spend $6.4 million to hire dozens of police officers at a time when you still have city council members and activist groups advocating to replace the police department, which I believe they already cut, and they voted unanimously Friday to approve the additional funding that police requested. The department says it only has 638 officers available to work, roughly 200 fewer than usual. I wonder why. Who's going to want to work there? The mob continues to obsess. You know, and this is the great hypocrisy, too. We can't ever allow what happened at the Capitol to ever happen again. I've been saying it every day and every night. You can't allow that. How did they breach that? And then the fact that we had intelligence and that the FBI knew and that congressmen and women knew, apparently, according to Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, well, what did they all know and when did they all know it and why didn't they all say something? And if they did say something, who did they say it to? Because then we would have had the proper security to protect our Capitol, the People's House, our institutions. And yes, every elected official needs to be protected. Everyone. This isn't about politics. But, you know, you just had, for example, by my count, we've had, 10 left-wing protests in New York City in the last, 9 months. As, you know, we had... You know, things were getting out of hand again. Police arrested 11 people in New York who allegedly bit a cop's leg when an anti-cop protest turned violent in New York City on Saturday. On Friday, 100 people converged on Midtown New York, defund the police, a demonstration organized, according to the New York Post, by Black Lives Matter. 6 women, 4 men charged with disorderly conduct, obstructing government administration. One guy was arrested for kicking one officer in the foot and biting another officer on his thigh. Okay, well, they have no bail in New York. You know what that means? They arrest him, they put him in jail, they let him out. I mean, it's insane that this is happening. It's madness. And it's not just, of course, in Portland you have, you know, leftist activists pelting police now with snowballs. Well, I guess it's better than bricks and Molotov cocktails, and better than frozen water bottles like we watched all summer. You had 100 protests out there. F, and then, dot, you know, asterisk, 12. You know, that was in, let's see, in Midtown Manhattan. And then you had F, 12, are anti-police terms that mean F the police, a reference to some police TV show, Adam 12. One Adam 12, remember that? Anyway, and like Barney Frank was a former congressman. Barney Miller was a former police show from New York City's 12th precinct. Anyway, that's apparently fairly well known. I didn't know it till I read it today. You still have Cuomo just, you know, going out there. This is getting really bad for him. George Pataki, former governor, now thinks, yeah, the issue of, you know, this nursing home death cover-up should result in him being taken out of office, but they don't have any recall effort like they do out in California, and that's taken on a lot of urgency out there. There's a lot of talk and a lot of studies that have been coming out of the damage that is done to people, families. The AP had a big report that for many couples, for example, that were going to be getting married, the pandemic has wreaked havoc on their wedding plans, bolstering, you know, I mean, putting a lot of stress on relationships. For couples already married, it's posed a, you know, a lot of new tests. Some get closer. Some people have, you know, fallen apart, and marriages that is now resulting in a lot of divorce around the country, becoming an epidemic, as they give a lot of details in this piece. In December, Biden promised Americans that he would only call for masks until April. And anyway, that was his declaration. But remember, he's gonna vaccinate 300 Americans in the summer. He said it twice last week. 300. We're going to have 400 to 600 million doses, but we're going to only going to give the vaccine to 300. So people are pretty angry. Anyway, Cuomo now has Republicans and Democrats calling for his resignation in New York. And there is one politician now calling for his Emmy to be taken back. He got an Emmy Award, wrote the book about leadership in the process. His longtime nemesis, Comrade de Blasio, calling for a full accounting of Cuomo's alleged nursing home death cover-up. Well, it's not even alleged at this point. Now we have a real whistleblower with a real identity that now has come forward and said, yeah, all of this is, in fact, has happened. So a lot going on there. Now, would you watch Joe Biden's agenda? You know, it's funny because now the Democrats, they want to go into more investigations into Donald Trump. I found a pretty interesting Red State's headline. They can't quit him. Democrats' new plan on how to get Donald Trump. I'm like, serious? We had another plan? He's out of office. Nancy Pelosi ruled out censure because she said it's a slap in the face to the Constitution. It lets everyone off the hook. And then she said, we censor people for using stationery for the wrong purpose. Okay. House Democrats issue a stark warning about their own party in 2022. Some Democrats see that this is not going good for them. Joe Biden's team, apparently behind the scenes, is in a bit of a panic because, you know, are we going to spend the entire first year of the Biden presidency, maybe the first 2 years, always talking about Donald Trump, meaning his Democratic supporters? I mean, if you look at Joe Biden's agenda, Senator Blackburn, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, warning Biden that China's not our friend. And she said she hopes Joe Biden understands the threat that China is now posing. That's what former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was saying as he was leaving that position. China's not our friend, she said. They are our adversary. They practice civil-military fusion. You never know where one piece ends and the other begins. And he's, you know, a lot of warnings going out. Biden to Congress now, this shouldn't surprise anybody. Remember, he was going to make Beto Bozo O'Rourke his gun czar. Daily Wire has a piece today about Biden to Congress. Enact major restrictions on the Second Amendment, on your Second Amendment rights. Well, that came up in the election, too. Demanding gun bans and new laws that will allow people to sue gun manufacturers. That's part of it. Why would you get to sue unless somehow the gun like backfires, it doesn't work properly? People that misuse a firearm, that is a crime. Why would you hold the manufacturer that sells the gun responsible, but people that don't use? Are you going to sue knife manufacturers or baseball bat manufacturers or tire iron manufacturers if people misuse the products as they're what they're intended for? Let's say target shooting, hunting, self-protection, right? He's now calling on Congress to enact these gun reforms, including requiring background checks on all gun sales, which pretty much happens now, banning every assault weapon with high-capacity magazines, eliminating immunity for gun manufacturers. Now, the way they define an assault weapon, that probably amounts to a call for banning all semi-automatic firearms. There was no language included in the statement. And if gun owners are not allowed, are we going to be allowed to keep the guns we have? Or is this going to become a mandatory gun confiscation program? Can't wait to get the details on all of this. Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, You know, she's circling back apparently a lot. But, you know, we saw what happened on day one when they, the ambassador Twitter account to Israel changed dramatically. And anyway, it looks like the hostilities were going back to the Obama-Biden years on the treatment of Israel. There'd been no president ever that had supported the state of Israel, the only democracy in the region, our top ally. Anyway, so now Biden is refusing to call, say they're one of our best allies. How did Trump get all these deals done with the Emirates and, you know, deals that were unthinkable? Because the Egyptians, Jordanians, the Saudis, the Emirates, Israel, the U.S. have already figured out that a nuclear-armed Iran and Iranian hegemony in the region is going to result in a disaster. Pretty scary times we live in. Then, of course, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. Well, Democratic senators refused to outlaw that, which is pretty sad. So Biden calling on a Congress to ban assault weapons and institute major gun restrictions. In Puerto Rico, their governor is saying Congress is morally obligated to act on the statehood vote. D.C. is probably first. Biden's DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is about to release 25,000 plus migrants into Texas and California communities. That's just the beginning of open borders and amnesty, which through executive order and bypassing an entire branch of government that Biden has been involved in, that most people haven't been paying attention to. Texas sheriff is saying clear evidence illegal immigration is soaring under Joe Biden. Why not? Because people know that amnesty is coming. Why? That's like an invitation. I'm not sure if people are following his mask mandate when the country is entered illegally. Biden policies now are forcing the release of some migrants in West Texas, in a border community there, and then they can't do their job. I mean, this is all the stuff we worried about. You know, the smoking gun on justthenews.com on Comey is pretty amazing. Because the very day he signed the first renewal, remember, Comey signed the first FISA application, unverifiable as it is, and it says at the top of a FISA application verified. He signed that first one, you know, when Donald Trump was a candidate. Now, as Sally Yates has said and Andrew McCabe have said, without the dirty Russian misinformation dossier that Hillary paid for, there would have been no approval of the FISA application. On the day he signed the first renewal, there were three renewals. He was writing James Clapper. "We're not able to sufficiently corroborate the reporting," Comey said, about, yes, the dirty dossier. Anyway, that was made public through Open Records lawsuit by the Southeastern Legal Foundation. Well, that's a big deal, because then he signed a third FISA application, the second renewal. I got to give a shout out to my buddy Dan Bongino and his partners at Parler. They have now resumed the social media app. That's good news. And the new CEO saying the platform will remain true to its free speech roots and has insulated itself from future cancel culture. I'm sure it wasn't easy to do, but for those of you that like to use social media on your own, I am banned by my staff. Linda, you've never given me an explanation as to why I am banned.
I think the audience knows.
What do you
mean? It's a very smart audience.
Okay, what's the reason?
Why should I say it? The audience already knows.
The audience knows why I don't have any access to my social media accounts and I don't have an email. They know that.
That's correct. They do know.
You think they understand completely?
I do, actually, yeah.
They probably do.
They really do. They're wonderful people.
I couldn't get on if I wanted to. You guys have made it so I can't possibly get on anything.
That's true.
Recently,
it's taken me years to perfect this. Years and years. I'm very proud of this work.
Oh, man. Can you put up like a disclaimer? Hannity has no access to his own social media accounts.
Yeah, most things say run by Hannity staff. So they know.
They know.
They know.
Hannity.com puts up great news every day. That's right. Have access to. You can't prevent that.
You can see it.
I can get it on my phone.
You can read it.
I can.
Still run by Hannity's staff.
No, I don't have access to posting anything on it.
That's correct.
That's a good point. I have access to read it.
That's right.
I guess I probably could have access to read my Twitter account. I just don't do it.
This is true. You could read.
The last place I want to be is on Twitter. I don't care. I just don't care.
The yeas are 57. The yeas are 57. The nays are 43. Two-thirds of the senators present not having voted guilty. The Senate judges that the respondent, Donald John Trump, former president of the United States, is not guilty as charged in the article of impeachment.
All right, that was Pat Leahy on the acquittal of Donald Trump over the weekend. And it was a pretty... These are sad and dangerous times when you could literally now hold one party to one group of set of standards and another party to another set of standards. It is extremely... It's extraordinarily dangerous when evidentiary standards are completely bypassed. It's dangerous when Pat Leahy is presiding over the shift show charade, as I call it, while he himself is already on record saying Donald Trump is guilty. That doesn't represent anything that resembles due process, presumption of innocence in any way. None of these videotapes that were used by the House managers would ever have been admissible in a court of law. Now, add to that, there's a great exchange between one of the president's attorneys, Michael Vanderveen, as CBS anchor says, well, you know, there was only a little thing, a little. They literally altered evidence. Now, that in any other real court of law would be considered a huge problem. Listen to how this exchange went down.
Ma'am, your question is
I want
turned.
To be clear for our viewers.
Listen, what
I
has
want to be
to happen
clear for our viewers
the,
about
the
what exactly you're saying
start,
when you say doctored evidence.
The media has to start telling the right story in this country. The media is trying to divide this country. You are bloodthirsty for ratings. And as such, you're asking questions now that are already set up with a fact pattern. I can't believe you would ask me a question indicating that it's all right just to doctor a little bit of evidence. There's more stuff that we uncovered that they doctored.
You have won the acquittal of your client.
Yes,
and if you'd
I
like
did.
To continue to talk about this conversation, we can have that discussion.
I don't need
but,
to.
But for me to ask a question,
a slanted question that was set up to say it's okay for them to cheat. That was your question. Isn't it okay for them to cheat?
I didn't
say that. It's just a little bit. You said, to be fair, it was only a check on the Twitter. That's what you said. You got to live by your words. That's the problem. The media has to start living by the truth and not try to create a narrative.
Michael Vanderveen.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. I do appreciate.
Yeah.
Okay. I see you taking off your microphone now.
All right. Joining us now, Bruce Castor is with us. Michael Vanderveen. Now, they had a whole other team of lawyers, too, that deserve to be recognized. And David Schoen, who's been on this program many times. Guys, welcome to the program. I want to start with Bruce. Michael, you and Bruce are partners in this law firm, correct?
That's right. Yes.
And I was critical of you on day one, and then when I got the context of what had actually happened, I felt like I was unfair to you, based on you weren't scheduled to speak at that moment, at that time, and it. I just got concerned because I felt like opening remarks would always be fairly scripted and tightened up. And now that I found out the circumstances surrounding it, I think my comments to you were unfair. So my humble apologies on that, because what you guys were able to put together in 10 days and then win this acquittal is just a remarkable legal feat.
Eight days, Sean. We had eight days.
I'm the fake media. I got it wrong. 8 days.
But you know, let me tell you about what happened that first day, and explain what Bruce pulled off. when we got into that Senate chamber and they put on 2 hours of video and audio, and you got to understand, they got a Hollywood production company to put together audio and visual that would move people and play on people's sympathies rather than actually dealing with the facts and the allegations of what is incitement under a legal definition, particularly as it pertains to impeachment. But what they, and then one of the gentlemen presenting, you know, spoke of his recently deceased child and injected a lot of personal emotion into his presentation. When he stopped, the air in the room was really thick and full of emotion. So we walked out on our break, and Bruce, you know, leading the team, said, "Look, I'm going to call an audible here. We were about to do just 2 hours of a dry jurisdictional argument, which, by the way, they'd already voted on like a week before, and we weren't going to win anyway. So Bruce said, I'm going to take about 30 minutes and change the temperature in that room. David, trim yourself down from 2 hours to an hour and a half, and we're going to roll that way." He had been working on his opening, but it wasn't due to be presented yet, so he hadn't finished it. And as you saw, he just went up there you know, in a kind of a real person way, started to talking to him. Could have his tempo been better or his rhythm been better? Sure. But what he went out there and did was a bold move. It was an experienced trial lawyer move, having read the room. And it achieved the effect. It was the right decision. It achieved the effect, cooled down the room, and allow us to proceed with the jurisdictional argument. It worked. It may not have been the prettiest thing, but it worked. We would do it again. It's just so unfortunate how the media, you know, really just gave him a beating over it without having any real solid understanding.
Boy, that ought to be my first clue. Anytime I echo anything in any manner that might be in alignment with them, considering they're so wrong so often. What note taken here. You know, I'm watching this whole trial, Bruce, and I'm watching, let's see, they're staging a photo shoot, they're altering evidence, and you guys did a great job, I thought, with these montages that you put up of how what actually the president was saying on January 6th versus what the House managers showed, because it was deceptive, selective editing at a very high and sophisticated level. Again, rules of evidence, if applied, normal rules of evidence in a court of law, if applied, none of this would be admissible. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's true. And worse than that, if Mike or I had done that back home, we'd be standing in front of the Supreme Court explaining to the Chief Justice why we shouldn't be thrown out of the bar. I mean, it's just awful stuff, and it's indicative of the world of Alice in Wonderland that we found ourselves in when we walked into the Capitol building.
I watched this interview, Michael, very closely over the weekend with the CBS anchor, and you eviscerated her in terms of the arguments. I was blown away, and that doesn't happen enough in the media. Good for you.
I'll tell you that that thing has gone viral. I mean, I think I spoke what millions and millions of people around the world feel, Sean. And you know, I actually, when I look back and I've seen the tape now myself, you know, with the time delay and that kind of thing, it appeared like we were talking over one another a little bit more than we actually were. But it's really the content of what I was saying. You know, the media, when I was a kid, you watch the news and you'd get all the facts and you know, not too much opinion. And it's kind of flipped a little bit. And you know, I think the press just has to do a little bit of a self-audit and, you know, be a little self-reflective and see how they can help cool the passions in the nation as well, and how they can help bring, you know, the left and the right a little bit closer together, just to find the common ground of the national priorities and, you know, really move us forward on infrastructure and move us forward on the economy and move us forward
on
Michael,
I've been doing this
economic equality, all that stuff, you know.
I've been on radio 33 years. I've been on Fox 25 years. It's not happening. I mean, you think of Trump's presidency, and for three solid years, we got nothing but a conspiracy theory, a full-on hoax. Now that every single thing we reported on these shows of mine, we got right. They got it wrong. Yeah. They've got UVA wrong. They got Duke Lacrosse wrong. They got Ferguson wrong. They got Baltimore and Freddie Gray wrong. Richard Jewell wrong. I could keep going all day here, and I pride myself in getting things right.
I'll tell you what we found down there was, in a big way, Washington is broken, and they really cater to the media. I mean, they are so concerned down there about what the media cycle is and what they, you know, how the media will react. We were all very surprised by, you know, we're novice. We're not politicians. We're just, you know, lawyers. We're citizens. And you know, we weren't adept at handling all of that. But, you know, I think as far as the trial team's perspective, you know, from Bill Brennan to Bruce Castor and myself, you know, we're hopeful that, what we did in defending the Constitution and defending bedrock constitutional provisions, that it set that Senate's eyes a little bit more focused on, you know, the problems that this country has moving forward in, as I said, infrastructure or education. I know people on both sides of all these issues, but they need to work together and find the common ground, you know.
Did any Democrat at any point ever come up to you and say you did a good job? I doubt it.
Well, that's actually, they did.
Actually, you know what? One person did. One of the representatives. Hang on.
Uh-oh. We lost somebody. I think we lost Bruce.
Her name was Stacy Plaskett. She actually gave a very smooth and a very good presentation in her case. And she came up after a couple of days and introduced herself, you know, was complimentary of the efforts we were putting in. And, you know, the passion and zeal we had, we also gave her, compliments and were civil with her. But, no, you're right. She was the only one. She was a real class act. Miss Plaskett, and it was refreshing for us. You would imagine the Republicans were very hospitable to us. They were very polite. The interaction we had with the Democrats directly was almost non-existent. There was a lot of backroom channeling between, various staff members and this and that when we were talking about witness stipulation and whatnot. You know, we're just trial lawyers. We went down there to do our case and get out of there. And so you nearly
ran into a buzzsaw with witnesses, and we thought for an hour or two, I guess, on Saturday that might happen.
We handle them on that. They were more afraid of witnesses than anybody. And the whole silliness about, and actually it's just unconscionable to say that we sent a letter to Donald Trump to have him come in and participate and to bring exculpatory evidence. Well, that's not the way it works. If they wanted Mr. Trump in there, they could have subpoenaed him, and they chose not to because they know they didn't have any right to, and it would be the wrong thing to do in a judicial process. As far as him bringing exculpatory evidence, it's their burden. They made accusations that he incited the attack on the Capitol,
the insurrection,
which was blatantly false. It was premeditated. It was pre-planned by people far on the right and far on the left, not where the mainstream America, 95% of the American consciousness is, and they carried out their attack.
Let me give Bruce the last word here, because we're just running out of time in this segment. We'll have more on TV on Hannity tonight. Both of you will join us. Bruce, you want to give the last word here?
We were prepared for that issue with witnesses. We had made a list of 300-plus witnesses. We had them all ready to go and even had their names down. And it was, in fact, If you look at the tape, when the witness issue came up, Mike and I leaned over and we were discussing, why don't we just stipulate to letting her say whatever she wants to say, because no one's going to believe anything she has to say anyway, because it's triple hearsay. So what? Let's just let it in. But that was a decision that we figured we needed to take by the whole team. So we took a break, and that is ultimately the idea we floated, and ultimately that's the decision that they came down with.
Thank you, Bruce Cantor. Thank you, Michael Vanderveen. We'll have you both on Hannity tonight. Congratulations. It was 8 days, and you guys were successful. Congratulations. Not an easy task for any attorneys. Thank you. All right, 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, one of the other things Lindsey Graham said about Mitch McConnell over the weekend, warning that McConnell's words... And this is, listen, this is the Republican establishment in their minds. Now, there's a poll out today that about 65% of Republicans actually want another party. If that happens and the party fractures, you got a huge problem. Okay, what's the huge problem? Is now you're siphoning off votes. Can it be done successfully? Yeah, but I truly believe that the establishment wing of the Republican Party, as embodied by the likes of Mitch McConnell, that it would be for some reason they watched, but they didn't learn. And I'm not saying you have to take on Donald Trump style. There's very few people like him. He's a disruptor. He's an iconoclast. But the agenda. And also there's one important ingredient here that this is where they never learned their lesson, is that, you know, a lot of politicians, both parties, they go to the swamp, they go to the sewer, maybe even have the best of intentions. And then they get there and then something happens. They love being called senator. They love being called congressman. And then you get the swampy, you know, gang of 6, 8, 10, 12 or whatever deals that are Republicans pretty much caving. And Republicans never unite and have the same commitment to fight like the entire Democratic Party. And people are fed up with it. I mean, I think the greatest example of what I'm saying is all those show votes in the House of Representatives to repeal and replace Obamacare. Well, that's when Obama was president, and Obama would never sign that into law. But then when they had the chance to do it, they didn't get it done. They didn't even have a plan that they all were united behind already, ready to go. And we had given them so many suggestions: concierge care for every American, health savings accounts, catastrophic insurance coupled with concierge care, like Atlas MD and Dr. Josh Umber, Wichita, Kansas. And then the Senate, in 2015, they vote straight line Republicans. Yes, we would repeal Obamacare as written, straight repeal bill. Then seven of those Republican senators, 2 years later, when it mattered and Donald Trump would have signed it, they were nowhere to be found. They switched their votes. And this, you know, and for Graham to rightly point out that McConnell put a load on Republicans' back with his anti-Trump speech after this whole thing went on, is just completely out of touch with where his party is. And had there been a vote, I would argue, if there's a vote among Republicans, do you believe in America First, make America great again, that agenda, or you want Mitch McConnell, I think he's out of touch. He probably would lose 90% to 10, if he even could get 10%. And it's sad that, you know, where was he during the entire crossfire hurricane, Russia collusion, lie, conspiracy theories? Where was he? Where was Senator John Thune? Where were most of these Republican senators? They were quiet, staying off TV, saying nothing. I mean, it's sad. Democrats, they're a lot better at staying united and fighting than Republicans are. But that is that old style establishment Republicanism is a bygone era at this point. You know, it's funny because conservatives were told often, well, for the good of the party, you know, well, it's the lesser of two evils. Vote for John McCain, a liberal Republican, or you're going to get Barack Obama. Okay, I John McCain was not my first choice, but John McCain was a lot better than Barack Obama. Same with Mitt Romney. All right, let's go to the great state of Florida, where everybody seems to be moving these days, especially out of New York. David, hi, how are you? You're on the Sean Hannity Show.
I'm doing great, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. So I was listening to your show on Friday, and you played a clip by Cuomo. He was basically bragging about his state's numbers for the coronavirus, and I was like, that doesn't sound right. So I went to the CDC website, and, you know, Sean, what do you know? He was right. And that is because the state's numbers for coronavirus's deaths per 100,000 are separated from the city of New York. And if you combine those numbers together, would it shock you to know that he's either number one or number two in the union? I mean, I would love for you to follow up on that.
You know, that's one thing I had not picked up on, nobody said. But I tell you, this effort now to remove him is real. This is now taken on a momentum in the state of New York. Former governor of New York, George Pataki, literally floating the idea of removing Cuomo from office and saying that, you know, his conduct regarding this nursing home cover-up has been reprehensible, and that, you know, the cover-up of nursing home deaths. And he said, I think it would be appropriate to take a hard look at the idea of removing Cuomo from office with a recall movement. We see it now. It's taken on a ton of momentum out in California. But unlike California, New York has no legal procedure for recalling elected officials in the middle of their term. And a serious effort to create such a process was instigated by Pataki, pushed for a constitutional amendment years ago, didn't happen. But, I mean, there is a lot of anger here. Biden now is telling Americans that they're going to have to wear face masks until 2022, a record high number of... Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Sean, they're talking about, you know, shutting the state of Florida down, and I'm just laughing. You know, I mean, our governor did everything you should do. He didn't shut the economy down. He put lockdowns on nursing homes to protect our elderly. It's just one more example where the left absolutely abuses statistics and the fact checkers. You know, the lady the other day who went viral for going from paying $60 for her son's insulin to $300. I don't know if you saw that story. So I clicked on it, watched the video. This woman's in tears, paying hundreds of dollars more. Would you be surprised that Facebook fact checked that? Isn't that fascinating? And they wanted to correct the fact that Biden had not actually rescinded this. He just put it on hold. And that's really easy to say when you're sitting in a Facebook fact check office or wherever you are. And it's really easy to say, oh, that's not that bad. Well, that's great for you when you don't have to pay thousands of dollars or more. My point is the amount of bias. I knew it was bad, but it's getting unreal, Sean. And I'm grateful for you and I'm thankful for you.
I'm thankful to be here every day. Trust me. And we're under fire every second of every day. All right, Dave, appreciate it. By the way, Cuomo now, this is bipartisan condemnation he's getting, and many calls for his resignation. And you have politicos now saying he should give his Emmy award back, and even de Blasio, now they're natural enemies, and he's calling for a full accounting of all of this. And what are New York businesses doing? Well, they're following New York residents and getting the hell out of Dodge and moving their businesses down to Florida, too. Mike in Ohio. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Sean, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. What's going on?
Yeah, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. You know, everybody's running around right now just wondering how to use Trump. You know, he's been acquitted and such. I've got an idea, and I think it's pretty strong. I think you run Donald Trump for a House seat. You run Donald Trump in a House seat in a red district somewhere. I mean, the Democrats have been able to get an AOC in there. They've been able to get a Tlaib in there. They've been able to get who knows who they wanted in there. But you run Donald Trump for a House seat. And right now, in today's political climate, it is the best place for him to sit. And then you dangle the carrot. You dangle the carrot in front of 74 million people that Donald Trump is going to be your next Speaker of the House. And if we can win five seats is all we need, Sean. You know, we got to figure out a way to pull 74 million voters together. And the way you pull 74 million voters together is you put Donald Trump back on a ballot.
It's interesting what you're saying. Look, there's no president, though, that has ever going to, and I'm not trying to be insulting to House members, that is ever going to say, okay, let me run for the House now that I've run for president and I've been president.
No, it's not unprecedented, Sean. John Quincy Adams was
I am very aware, but it's just, knowing Donald Trump as well as I do, I don't think that would be an option for him. Look, he was clear. He's been very quiet. He put out a statement on Saturday after the acquittal, and it was clear in that statement that he has a lot to share in the months ahead, and I think he's been given a little bit of time for some, I think, self-reflection. I think a little time to let all this pass, and a little time to, you know, watch. It's not going to be long until people start saying, miss me yet? Hashtag Trump 2024. I can see that happening any day. And because the policies, as we've been going over, of Joe Biden are so radically left.
That's what we have to get rid of. I mean, I'm really worried about 2022. I'm not worried about 2024. I'm worried about 2022. And to make a move like that, it would be the boldest, strongest.
I love creative thinking. It's pretty it's pretty genius and innovative on your part. I give you a lot of credit. I do, because you're thinking through it. I don't think that would happen. I think he's either going to make a decision to run again or not run again. And not, when that decision comes, I don't know.
From the GOP standpoint, why wouldn't you put your best player on the field for a must-win game? A must-win game is in 22. We have to win the House and or the Senate, preferably both.
And if he gets up and breathes on any given day, the media is going to cover it. I think he is already the most powerful force today.
He is.
In the Republican Party, and I think he'll remain so. And he has indicated in the past that he's focused on 2022, and I think we'll probably be out helping a lot of people in a lot of ways. Again, I don't have a crystal ball, can't say, but I think that's what his intention is. And honestly, after 4 or 5 never-ending years of running, you know, 1,000 miles an hour every second of every day, I think he probably is taking a well-deserved break. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt at some point a book comes out and he tells his story, and when he's ready, he'll do it. I mean, it's kind of very uncharacteristic of him to be quiet this long. And I'm sure when he does talk, he's going to have a lot to say, knowing him as well as I do. All right, back to our busy telephones. Let's say hi. Henry in New Jersey. We got a minute, Henry, for you.
Hey, Sean. First thing, God bless you, Rush, Mark.
Thank you.
All you guys are really working for us, this country, and we really appreciate it. And prayers, especially for Rush and Trump.
Amen. Many prayers for
us. Anyway, I could talk to you for an hour if you let me, but I know I can't. You know, I've been interested in politics for over 50 years. I'm your age, but my dad got me into politics. The Republicans have never done what they've said they were going to do in all those 50 years. Trump's the only one that has. And, you know, I don't know whether the Republicans are cowards, they're stupid, or they're complicit in all this, because you know, Trump showed them how to fight, and they just don't know how. They still don't know how.
I agree with you 100%. They don't know how. Well, I'll tell you, there's another part of it too. It's hard to fight, and there's a side of being in the public eye that I've lived through my whole career. I promise you, that's not pleasant. And having a cancel culture that has existed pretty much all my career, that is real. Being under attack, under fire all the time. It's, you know, a lot of people don't have the stomach for this. And I do. And Donald Trump does. And there are, you know, notice how few senators ever go on television. Do you think that we don't reach out to them? We do. They don't want to come. There's a lot of timidity in them. There's a lot of fear in them. Doesn't mean some of them aren't good people. It just means that it is what it is. They're not there to fight. You heard the montage that went on 10 minutes long in the trial. Democrats, fight, 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 fight like hell, fight like hell, fight like hell, fight, 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 fight like hell. Fight. You know, they seem to have more of a willingness to go in hard, and Republicans, you know, lay back. And it's unfortunate, because the only way you're going to get things done is you've got to convince people that your ideas will work. I believe conservatism, lower taxes, energy independence, less bureaucracy, secure borders, better schools, law and order, safety, security, constitutional justices, free and fair trade, and peace through strength is a winning agenda. I don't think it's hard. Go out and tell the American people what you're going to do, then do it, and then run again saying, I kept my word. That's how, you know, politicians should be, but it seems they make it a lot more complicated. Anyway, my friend, thank you for a good call. All right, when we come back, David Schoen, he's the one that laid out all of that videotape in the Trump defense on Friday. He will join us and explain all coming up as we continue straight ahead. All right, news roundup and information overload hour, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. Now, we have spoken with the attorneys that got the acquittal over the weekend in this, you know, latest impeachment shift show charade, which we all told you from the beginning was a predetermined outcome. Friend of this program, our friend David Schoen, literally whacked the Democrats with incredible montages for lack of evidence. And, you know, one of the big issues here is, well, if the FBI knew, as now we know from court documents and FBI investigators and Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez and even the mob, the media, as we have been telling you, reporting that, oh, yeah, this was all planned in advance. Here's what David played at the end of last week.
The House managers, facing a significant lack of evidence, turned often to press reports and rumors during these proceedings. Claims that would never meet the evidentiary standards of any court. In fact, they even relied on the words of Andrew Feinberg, a reporter who recently worked for Sputnik, the Russian propaganda outlet. You saw it posted. By the way, the report they cited was completely refuted. The frequency with which House managers relied on unproven media reports shocked me as I sat in this chamber and listened to this.
And there's a lot that we don't know yet about what happened that day. According to those around him at the time, reportedly responded.
Trump reportedly
reports across all major media outlets.
Major news networks, including Fox News, reported.
Reported.
Reportedly summoned.
Reportedly.
Reportedly not accidental. According to reports, President Trump was reportedly who reportedly spoke to the guard.
And was widely reported.
Media reports?
According to reports,
reported.
Reportedly.
As any trial lawyer will tell you, reportedly is a euphemism for, I have no real evidence. Reportedly is not the standard in any American setting in which any semblance of due process is afforded an accused. Reportedly isn't even, here is some circumstantial evidence. It is exactly as reliable as, I Googled this for you. And if you're worried that you might ever be tried based on this type of evidence, don't be. You get more due process than this when you fight a parking ticket.
Wow, powerful statement. David Schoen, civil rights attorney, who joins us now. Honestly, as soon as you are finished, I don't know which ones I like better. I like the 10-minute fight, 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 fight like hell, fight like hell, fight like hell, fight like hell, or the Democrats' own insurrectionist incitement language themselves, or if I like this one. But this is why, David, you don't do snap impeachments reportedly. This is why you don't do snap impeachments reportedly.
Well, you're exactly right. But the first point I'd want to make is you've paid me a supreme compliment because I learned this from the master, from studying your shows. You do this so effectively, and it's not a gimmick. It's using people's own words to demonstrate exactly what the facts are. And people seem to get it better when they see it in living color. This is a real part of the snap impeachment. Can you imagine the idea of impeaching a president of the United States based on this guy Feinberg or media sources? And the House managers told the Senate that we just don't have all the facts, while at the same time, Jamie Raskin told them this is a very fact-intensive investigation. You need to consider all the facts. That is a horrible abuse of this politicized, weaponized impeachment process. Never should have happened. The American people deserve much better than this.
Yeah, and this is the frustrating part of all of this. Never mind, I could not believe Mitch McConnell's comments and take on this. And the idea that, and this was, I thought, brought out by you as well, if this is going to be the Democratic Party standard, you can't have two standards, David. You got to hold every person in elected office accountable. They've got to be held to the same exact standard. Now, if you mention Maxine Waters or you mention Chuck Schumer or you mention Kamala Harris, and I can keep going, They would all be impeached and put on trial based on their own standards. And that, too, you made a great point of proving.
Well, listen, you know, there was a question during the – I wasn't able to attend the question and answer period because of my Sabbath observance, but I was able to hear one or two of the questions before the Sabbath began. And one of them was a question Ted Cruz and others asked, and that was whether it was thought to encourage incitement when a public official bails out the rioters. And I think the answer that our side gave was just, yes, but that wasn't adequate. The real answer to that is, you know what? Donald Trump has been a law and order president for the entire term he was in office. He gave a consistent message for law and order all the way through. When you have Democratic members of the Senate, Congress, House, other public officials on the Democratic side appearing to endorse or support or justify or otherwise bail out rioters and that sort of thing, it sends a very different message. And the message there is, violence can be okay. That can't be the message. Violence cannot be okay in political advocacy.
Well, agreed. And you know what? That was where conservatives were consistent and Democrats weren't. Because all summer long, as the rioting went forward in this country and major cities, day after day, night after night, there was not only was there not widespread condemnation, the silence was deafening. And then Kamala Harris, they're not going to stop. They shouldn't stop. We shouldn't stop. You take note on both levels. You beware. I'm like, okay, and then then supporting a bail fund to get rioters out of jail so they could rejoin their comrades in the insurrectionist activities. If we applied the standards to Kamala Harris, would she be impeached and would she be put on trial?
Sure. If you applied the same standard, I mean, you'd have more than a handful of folks on the Democratic side being impeached. And I don't think that's the right answer either. But that's it just illustrates also why there never should have been this impeachment proceeding. With all due respect, I mean, Mitch McConnell was way out of line, way off base in what he said. There's no possible way anyone could come to that conclusion, to the conclusion that this speech or any other conduct by the president incited a riot, number one, because it's not true, and number two, because at a very minimum, they've acknowledged they don't have the facts. The facts are just starting to come out about a completely separate agenda, pre-planning by very bad, vicious criminals.
You took on Jamie Raskin from the Democratic House managers that were making their case on the Senate floor. And Jamie Raskin, interestingly, himself on his third day in Congress, stood up to oppose Donald Trump's election. Oh, he wanted his own audit. Pretty interesting hypocrisy. But also you hit him on his, you know, for staging this photo shoot with the New York Times and the manufactured tweets. Let's play it.
We have reason to believe that the House managers created false representations of tweets, and the lack of due process means there was no opportunity to review or verify the accuracy. Consider these facts. The House managers, proud of their work on the snap impeachment, staged numerous photo shoots of their preparations. In one of those, Manager Raskin is seen here at his desk reviewing two tweets side by side. The image on his screen claims to show that President Trump had retweeted one of those tweets. Now, members of the Senate, let's look closely at this screen, because obviously Manager Raskin considered it important enough that he invited the New York Times to watch him watching it. Now, what's wrong with this image? Actually, there are three things very wrong with it. Look at the date on the very bottom of the screen on Manager Raskin's computer screen when we zoom in to the picture. The date that appears is January 3rd, 2020, not 2021. Why is that date wrong? Because this is not a real screenshot that he's working with. This is a recreation of a tweet, and you got the date wrong when you manufactured this graphic. You did not disclose that this is a manufactured graphic and not a real screenshot of a tweet. Now, to be fair, the House managers caught this error before showing the image on the Senate floor. So you never saw it when it was presented to you.
Wow. How do you manufacture evidence like that? I mean, it all started out where the presiding judge in the case had already predetermined and stated publicly his vote for guilt. That wouldn't happen. You talked about evidentiary standards, you know, admissibility of evidence. None of this would be admissible in any real court of law, would it, David?
Absolutely not. And I think the first point you made there is probably the most important. Can you, any American, imagine facing any proceeding in which your life or liberty is at issue? And here, what was at stake was an effort to bar President Trump from ever running for office again and to disenfranchise the over 74 million voters who voted for him and would want to cast their vote again. And for these proceedings, they had a judge who's a fine fellow, this Senator Leahy's, and a fine man. I spoke to him during it. But he issued a press statement. Well, listen, he on January 27th, he entered an oath. The oath said he swears to be impartial in his consideration of these issues. Except 2 weeks earlier, on the 13th of January, he issued a press release in which he said President Trump is definitely guilty and he's going to vote to convict, and everybody else, including Mitch McConnell and the Republicans, have to vote to convict. Then he sat as the judge in the case, who has all decisions on evidence that comes in, and as a juror who has a vote on acquittal or conviction. It's that doesn't happen in this country.
You know, I watch all of this, and I just cannot believe that this is our country.
Yeah,
I cannot believe that we've descended into a process where there's no due process. There's no assumption, presumption of innocence. There is not equal application of standards, like there's no equal application of laws. I mean, you know, you've been all over with us this whole issue of the deep state and, you know, the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal. You know, nobody's paying attention today to the fact that in a January 27th email to James Clapper, the intelligence chief, the former FBI director Comey, you know, the very day he signed the FISA surveillance warrant saying everything's verified and Christopher Steele's dossier, remember Andrew McCabe, no dossier, no FISA application, and writing Obama's outgoing intelligence community chief a very different assessment of the British spies' intelligence on Russia collusion. We're not able to sufficiently corroborate the reporting he wrote in this email to James Clapper that was declassified and made public. I mean, this is the smoking gun email. But then he presented it for not only had previously signed a FISA application, signed one that day, and then signed a third one, knowing that they couldn't independently corroborate it. And now we know that Steele denied it was its veracity and the subsource denied its veracity. That's America?
Yep. You know, I'm glad you drew the parallel, by the way, because I do think there is one here. My first reaction was the Democrats just seem to be tone deaf. You had a Mueller commission in which the head of the commission was a partner in the law firm that represents Hillary Clinton. He put on there the most biased of folks, who politically biased folks. He put on his commission a lawyer who personally represented Hillary Clinton in her email scandal. And of all things, an investigation implicating the President of the United States, they put Andrew Weissman as the lead investigator, who's simply, in my view, the most ethically bankrupt prosecutor I have ever encountered in 36 years. That's the Mueller. I thought, what can you expect the American people to believe from a commission like that? Now you see this impeachment, no due process. You tell us you don't have the facts, but they should convict him and bar him from office anyway. But it goes beyond being tone deaf. It's an utter disregard for the American public, frankly. It's saying we don't need you to worry about integrity of the process or anything like that. Just listen to what we tell you. We're going to be vicious enemies of Donald Trump, and we're going to use your Constitution and your process to go after your president. But don't worry about it. Just trust us. We're doing what's best for you. That's a horrible, un-American approach.
Well, good job to you. Good job to everyone on your team. And I know you didn't even have a lot of time to prepare. I mean, unbelievable. Thank you, David Schoen, as always. 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free telephone number. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SHAWN, you want to be a part of the program. You know, Lindsey Graham said a lot on Fox News Sunday this weekend. Number one, you know, if we did a poll, ask yourself, and the poll was, okay, do you support Mitch McConnell's version of Republicanism, old establishment wing, or do you support Donald Trump's America First agenda? If that poll was taken today, what would the number be? 85, 90% Trump? MAGA, America First. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's that the Republican Party just has this the establishment wing of the Republican Party just never seems to learn what it is that the American people want. And what the American people want is not complicated. We talked all about it last week. And the other thing about Republicans is they never seem to know how to fight. Where were most of these Republicans during this whole deep state FISA application, FISA abuse, premeditated fraud, Russia collusion lies, Ukrainian hoaxes? Where were they? How come with all of the tape that we have from, let's see, Schumer, Pelosi, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, all the tape we have, Maxine Waters, where are they ever holding Democrats to the same standards that they're holding Republicans to? Why don't they ever do that? Anyway, here's Lindsey Graham, who was on Fox News Sunday, talking about, okay, Kamala Harris, you apply the same standard as I've been saying. Yeah, guess what? She gets impeached and put on trial.
He's the first president to ever be impeached without a lawyer, without a witness, without ability to confront those against him. And the trial record was a complete joke, hearsay upon hearsay. And we've opened Pandora's box to future presidents. And if you use this model, I don't know how Kamala Harris doesn't get impeached if the Republicans take over the House, because she actually bailed out rioters. And one of the rioters went back to the streets and broke somebody's head open. So we've opened Pandora's box here, and I'm sad for the country.
Okay, is it they're not gonna stop? This is right after the police precinct burned to the ground, in the middle of rioting that was breaking out over the country, Minneapolis early in the time, and raising money for people that go out and then commit more crimes because we don't keep them in jail because the bail fund that she was a part of. All right, a lot of you want to weigh in. Let's make that happen. Let us say, Mo the Liberal from Brooklyn. This is Mo. Mo's been calling this show for years. Mo thinks I'm the most dangerous guy in America. Do you still believe that?
Sean, you get more dangerous by the day, my friend.
If I was that dangerous, then Donald Trump would have won the last election and he'd be president right now. Apparently, I'm not as all powerful as you would suggest that I am.
Well, Sean, I picked the election on at 10:30 on election night when I saw what was happening in Arizona and Nevada. And there wasn't much anybody could do. Donald put himself on the line, and I don't know how many votes we won by, but it was at least 7 million.
The problem is, and even you should be concerned about this, and Democrats, as long as they got the result they wanted, but when the statutory language says that partisan observers should be able to watch the vote count start to finish, and it doesn't happen, that should concern you. When a state constitution like Pennsylvania has very strict limits on mail-in voting, and then they bypass their own constitution, that should concern you. Same with Wisconsin, Sean, state law. Go ahead.
Sean, man, I was a poll watcher. I know what happens at the polls. I've been there. Voting should be much more accessible to Americans, all Americans. And
how about voter ID? Do you support voter ID?
No, I don't support voter ID because my mother wouldn't be able to vote. She's 98. She has no valid ID.
She has no valid ID, your mom. Well, we can get your mom valid ID. I promise there's a way to do it in New York where you are that's fairly easy, even if she doesn't want a driver's license. And I'm sure, being the loving son that you are, you would help your 98-year-old wonderful mom.
I already talked to Chuck Schumer. He said he'd take care of it if we needed it. We were more concerned about her. The last time she left the country, they weren't going to let her back in because she only had her citizenship papers from 1948 with her maiden name on it.
We got to get your poor mom up to speed with some ID. I think you can't get into a Democratic National Convention without photo ID. Did you know that? You can't get...
I work in secure places all the time. I know what the idea is. It'd be nice...
So if we want integrity and confidence in election results, we should have voter ID. We should have chain of custody, very strict, rigorous standards. I think mail-in voting If you're going to do it, you got to have voter ID. We need real signature verification. And I think that's to protect the integrity on both sides so that people will have confidence in election results. And I think that would be a good thing for the country, don't you?
Well, I agree that elections should be above and there's always been a famous story of Kennedy.
Well, Nancy Pelosi complained bitterly that 2016 was stolen. Hillary said that Trump was an illegitimate president. Stacey Abrams still hasn't conceded her race. I don't see anybody upset about them complaining.
Did you know what happened with Kennedy in West Virginia when he was running?
How about Kennedy? Yeah, story? How about Kennedy in Illinois? Yeah, I know about it.
No. In West Virginia, his campaign manager sped through every small town in West Virginia and gave the sheriff $5,000 if he'd get them to vote for Kennedy. And they won.
So you approve of such things. Is that what you're saying, Mo from Brooklyn?
What's that?
You approve of this.
Well, I think elections should be run fairly. And
You can't. How do you then if you want them fair, partisan observers should observe. Chain of custody should be respected. Signature verification and voter ID. It's pretty simple. Sean, it's not that rigorous a standard.
Sean, everybody knows what happens at the polls. You know, the lady who I go in and sign, I've been signing with her for 30 years. I look at my signature over all the years I voted. They're all different. I scribble them.
I'm never gonna change your mind, but I'm trying. Sean, I've been trying, Mo, for years. All right, I'll give you the last word.
The last word I got to say to you, Sean, is I am so happy that you've done so well over the years since we've been talking, and I'm really proud and happy whenever I get a chance to call in and say hi to you.
You know, I can't hate Mo. For the people in this audience, Mo has been calling me for years, and we've been arguing for years, and there's something about the quality of your voice, that just the sincerity that is infuriatingly nice. All right, Mo, God bless you, my friend. God bless your mom, too, okay? Let's say hi. Let's go to Texas. Maybe we can get some reasonable viewpoints in Texas. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good, Sean. Thank you for everything you do for our country every day, man. And that previous caller just reminded me of your days with Alan Combs. It was pretty cool just to hear that.
Yeah. By the way, we're praying for our friends in Texas. I know you guys. The temperatures are really low. The streets are really dangerous in a lot of places. A lot of prayers for our friends in Texas. And hang in there. The temperature will come back and melt the ice and et cetera.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, we've got about 5 inches of snow down here in San Antonio and some ice, too. So we're not used to that. But
no, I know. And be careful with that ice. If it's on the pavement, you can't see it. And so driving, it can be treacherous. Just be careful. You know, if there's an older person living on your block, maybe go check in on them, make sure they're okay. Maybe if their power goes out, maybe you can lend them a space heater if you have one. Just, you know, everybody helps everybody.
Well, we will do that, man. Thank you. Thank you, Sean.
What else is on your mind?
Well, my question is, I understand that since the acquittal this weekend, I'm looking at this in two parts. One, since Justice Roberts didn't preside and Senator Leahy is not Chief Justice, we understand that it is unconstitutional. But my big question is that how is it that we can go forward either as the American people or as, you know, representatives and senators in Congress where they can bring a litigation suit all the way to the Supreme Court to clarify how Congress can impeach presidents going forward. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I know we can't do anything about it now, but looking to the future, I know that's very murky, you know, in the Constitution of how it has to be. And it's very limited on the language of explanation of impeachment. So it's like we can just impeach just to impeach. And what it does is it makes our country weaker, and it also makes our country weaker in the eyes of our enemies because we are just playing this political game. And then, you know, say in 2 years we don't like what's going on and the Republicans get back in, we can just impeach, you know, Joe Biden. We can impeach, you know, Kamala Harris. We can impeach whoever we want. And I think, you know, we're setting a dangerous precedent going forward, and not understanding the integrity of why it was done to begin with our founding fathers. That's my question.
Look, is this all dangerous? Have we now opened Pandora's box that impeachment's going to be at the drop of the hat? if there was, if the same standards used by Democrats were used by Republicans against Democrats, the answer would be yes. Do I expect Republicans will ever do that? No. You know, the one thing they did never learn from Trump is that you got to fight hard. And Trump fought them hard. That's one of the main reasons he so hated and exposed Republicans and Democrats. Listen, I would argue that Donald Trump's election in 2016 was as much about the Republican Party being weak and feckless and visionless and incapable of keeping promises that it created the door, the opportunity, the path for a disruptor to knock out 17 other prominent Republicans, win the nomination, and then win the presidency. And you can see the passion by which people support Donald Trump in large part because he made promises, he kept them, and he fights back. Now, a lot of people are offended by him fighting back, and they feign their outrage in the media. But Democrats usually stay pretty united. That's one big distinct difference. Anyway, hang in there in Texas, Andrew, praying for our friends down there. Eric in the socialist utopia of California next. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing good. Sean, thank you very much, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Try to keep it quick here so I can get your answer. First of all, socialist California, but I'm not one of them. But we have to get out of here one way or the other. But after the just complete sham of the impeachment and the 100% stolen election, my wife and I are, you know, we're very conservative Republican patriots, but we are thinking of leaving America, and we're not actors. And let me give you a quick background before I get your opinion on this. My dad and my uncle were freedom fighters in the Hungarian Revolution of 1956, and they literally had to escape or they would have been killed for sure. And they did come here as legal refugees, became legal citizens, you know, the whole nine yards. I've been going to Hungary since I was age seven, so I grew up in a communist country. And besides the election and the impeachment, just all the hatred and division in this country, and I don't see it going away anytime soon. I mean, we're just heartbroken. It's what's happened.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry. Now in Hungary, they have probably some of the safest borders in the world. Freedom of speech, capitalism, you know, no PC, none of this new words every day like cancel culture. I can't even keep up. You know, it'd be like moving back to the 30s, 40s, and, you know, just, we just want peace. And
I don't have a lot of time, and I want to give you a full answer because you deserve one. I would rather fix this country because I don't think there's a better place on the face of the earth than America. And we need a strong America for the world to succeed. There's been plenty of articles written about the fact that 2020, you know, we have more Americans now doing exactly what you're suggesting. The first half of 2020 broke a record of 5,409 Americans, again, the first 6 months, that gave up their citizenship for a variety of reasons. And a lot of, you know, it's taxes, it's regulations, it's a lot of reasons. And I'd rather fix the country. I think the left is already overreaching, and I'd rather keep all hands on deck, focus on the things that we as conservatives know would work and be good for the American people. And to fight, to quote all of the Democrats in the 10-minute montage played last week, fight and fight with all you've got for the principles that guide this country to success and prosperity and freedom. The cause of liberty and freedom it never stops. I would like to stay the United States of America. That's my first choice by far. All right, Hannity tonight, say DVR 9 Eastern, Fox News. We're loaded up. We have the three attorneys for Donald Trump, David Schoen, Bruce Castor, and Michael Vanderveen, who had a big fight. Man, it was he just eviscerated this anchor on CBS over, just a little bit of manipulation of evidence. Okay, it's actually funny. We'll show it to you. Don Jr. tonight, Dan Bongino tonight, Jason Chaffetz, Matt Gaetz, Janice Dean on the coronavirus New York scandal. 9 Eastern, Say DVR, Hannity, Fox. We'll see you then. Thanks for being with us back here tomorrow.